Piper Aircraft has a new owner this week. So does Northrop Grumman's Killer Bee UAV. And there may be hope for reversing Florida's punitive use tax. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 4th, 2009. The aerospace news world has been busy since we last talked. Piper Aircraft was sold on Friday. The company's owner, American Capital, sold its 100% stake to Imprimis, a corporate finance and investment management company with offices in Bangkok, Singapore, and Brunei Darussalam. Imprimis says it intends to inject capital and keep operations in Vero Beach, Florida. Imprimis managing partner Stephen Berger commented, quote, "Piper's capabilities, its excellent dealer family, and extensive customer base, coupled with Imprimis's capability to provide financial support, our dedication to growing the companies we invest in, and our contacts within Asia, provide fertile ground for Piper to expand its business in the Asian markets and throughout the world," unquote. Piper CEO Jim Bass added, quote, "Imprimis's commitment to grow Piper in both existing and emerging markets comes at a time when we are poised to enter a new era in aviation history," unquote. Raytheon was also shopping last week. The company reports it has purchased the technology and name of the Killer B-4 from Northrop Grumman. The unmanned aerial craft is a blended wing design that uses the same systems for launch, recovery, and ground control, whether over land or sea. For now, Raytheon will submit the Killer B for the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps' Small Tactical UAS and Tier 2 competition. But the company also sees a big future. Raytheon VP Bob Francois commented, quote, "Our plan is to continuously mature the system and tailor it to meet the needs of allied warfighters around the globe," unquote. The Florida House of Representatives has passed a bill which would modify the notorious 6% Florida use tax on aircraft visiting from out of state. House Bill 51 passed by a vote of 113-4. The tax could still be assessed against any new aircraft visiting the state within 6 months of purchase, but would limit liability to aircraft which stay for 21 days or more. Currently, even a gas stop on the way to the Caribbean could earn you a surprise bill in the mail when you get home if your plane is spotted on the ramp at a Florida FBO. A companion bill will still need to pass the state Senate, where it's expected to be a tougher sell. The two versions would then need to be reconciled and gain the governor's signature. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says Boeing's C-17 is a great aircraft, but the Air Force has all it needs for the next 10 years. Gates was testifying Thursday before the Senate Appropriations Committee, who want to keep the C-17 in production to earn votes in their home districts. Boeing wants the Air Force to order more of the planes to help pay for keeping the line running for future foreign orders. But Gates called the current Procurement Balancing Act a zero-sum game, meaning that more C-17s would require doing without other things the service really does need. He added that Congress has tied the Pentagon's hands on phasing out older C-5A cargo planes, meaning more C-17s would constitute excess capacity. The drive in the Senate for more C-17s is led by Senators Barbara Boxer of California and Kit Bond of Missouri. Continued production of the plane would benefit both states. Up next on ANN, is Biden the new Bush? Travel insurance may not save your Mexican vacation. And should TSA screeners get to wear masks while they frisk you? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 4th. I'm Paul Plack. Among the political types running as far as they could get from last week's foot in mouth by Vice President Joe Biden is new U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. Biden on Thursday commented that he was advising his family not to travel on airplanes, which brought a predictable response from the Air Transport Association. A spokeswoman in Biden's office later answered the outcry by explaining that Biden was talking only about flights to and from Mexico and had meant to say that only sick people should avoid flying. LaHood was more blunt than most Obama administration officials in distancing himself from Biden's remarks. The Wall Street Journal reports he told a group of aviation professionals, quote, "Flying is safe and flying is healthy and flying to Mexico is safe. In our department, we're going to listen to the experts," unquote. Ouch. Referring to the gaffes that made the former President Bush a favorite source for comedy material, Jay Leno commented in Friday night's monologue, quote, "God may have taken away Bush, but by golly, he gave us Joe Biden," unquote. If you've been waiting and saving for a vacation trip to Mexico, and you've arranged for the time off work to go, maybe the swine flu scare has you agonizing over the decision on whether to cancel your plans. Well, Michael Ambrose, president of the U.S. Travel Insurance Association, warns that if you've considered buying travel insurance to cover the cost of a vacation canceled over swine flu, read the fine print. Ambrose tells the New York Times policies vary, but while most will cover at least a portion of the cost of a vacation cut short by illness, none cover decisions made in advance to skip a trip due to a health scare. If you want a policy that covers cancellation for any reason, they are available and they're expensive. Even then, Ambrose says if you decide to stay home to avoid getting sick, quote, you won't get back 100%, unquote. The National Treasury Employees Union, which hopes one day to represent TSA screeners, called Friday for the Department of Homeland Security to issue new guidance to employees who come in daily contact with thousands of travelers, including permission for them to wear masks at work. NTEU President Colleen Kelly observes that the current policy to protect against swine flu by keeping a distance of 6 feet from passengers is unrealistic during pat-downs, wandings, and the handling of documents. She notes many processed passengers are coming from Mexico. Quote, "If employees want to wear masks, they should be allowed to. These employees are in high-risk situations and should be allowed to protect themselves," unquote. Let's just hope the anonymity provided by the masks won't remove the incentive for the great customer service. Still ahead, Los Angelinos get to see a Zeppelin this month. The FAA is immune, even if the controller screwed up. And it turns out there's one kind of low-altitude stall that can save your life. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 4th. I'm Paul Plack. On Memorial Day weekend, citizens of Southern California will look skyward and see a sight few alive have ever seen before, an airship floating gracefully overhead. The last time an airship was over SoCal was in August of 1929, when the Graf Zeppelin moored at LAX, which was then called Mines Field, during its record-setting around-the-world flight. The upcoming visit by the airship Ventures Zeppelin Eureka will offer an amazing scene for spectators on the ground, and an even more amazing visual experience for those who ride it, Friday through Monday, May 22nd through the 25th. If your lasting impression of airships has anything to do with the Hindenburg, you should know that the Zeppelin NT, for new technology, uses non-flammable helium, features a tear-proof outer envelope, and has carried more than 80,000 passengers since August of 2001 without incident. The ship will be based at Long Beach Airport during its stay in the area, and sightseeing trips will depart from the FBO Air Flight Terminal at 3250 Air Flight Way. You can get details at airshipventures.com. The message in a ruling Friday by the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals is that even if an air traffic controller is deemed partially at fault for your accident, federal immunity protects the FAA. The court upheld an earlier ruling that the family of longtime Chicago radio personality Bob Collins is not entitled to damages following a mid-air collision between his Lynn Z-242L and a Cessna 172 in February of 2000. Both planes were in contact with a local controller on approach to Waukegan Regional Airport. All six occupants of the two aircraft died when they collided and fell to the ground in Zion, Illinois. A comparison of radar records and voice recordings revealed that Collins incorrectly estimated his location several times during exchanges with the tower. NTSB's probable cause determination was the pilot's failure to maintain clearance, but factors mentioned were the pilot's poor visual lookout and the local controller's failure to provide effective sequencing. The NTSB's determination is never heard in court in a case like this, but the evidence is. Regardless, the Seventh Circuit said Friday, the FAA and its controllers enjoy the legal protections inherent in federal immunity. And finally, they say a good landing is any landing you can walk away from, and a great landing is one which leaves the aircraft reusable. Even landings which only qualify as good under that criteria usually result in great stories. But at least one pilot of one Cessna 182 probably won't want to spin the yarn of his Friday crash at Thune Field in Washington State. According to the Pierce County Sheriff's Office, the pilot was climbing out at only 200 feet when the plane lost power. The pilot fell short in his attempt to make it back to the runway and came down on a storage yard for porta potties. The landing was only good. The pilot walked away, but the sky lane ended up banged up and inverted. Still, some onlookers believe the inadvertent cushion provided by the plastic loose may have saved the pilot from serious injury. My only comment here would be a question. Would it be fair to say he got the plane into a stall? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves says proficiency requires recurrent training not just in the air, but on the ground. Bob tells us about a wings course he's developed for presentation at his home airport. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.